Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Mullen v. Doe, docket number 25-1083, decided June 25, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Congress created Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, in 1990 to give short-term humanitarian relief to aliens who cannot safely return to their home countries. Syria received such a designation in 2012 because of conditions tied to the repressive regime of Bashar al-Assad, and Haiti received one in 2010 after a devastating earthquake, although designed to be temporary. These designations have often lasted for decades. After the Secretary of Homeland Security moved in 2025 to terminate the designations for both countries, groups of Syrian and Haitian nationals sued under the Administrative Procedure Act to stop the terminations, and the Haitian challengers further claimed that ending Haiti's designation was motivated by race, in violation of equal protection. Two district courts granted interim relief postponing the terminations. The Second Circuit and a divided D.C. Circuit declined to stay those orders, and the government sought certiorari before judgment, which this court granted, consolidating the cases. The questions presented were, first, whether the judicial review bar in the TPS statute, Title 8 of the United States Code, Section 1254A, Subsection B, Paragraph 5, Subparagraph A, precludes respondents' Administrative Procedure Act claims, and second, if those claims are reviewable, whether they nonetheless fail on the merits. The court held, first, the TPS statute's judicial review bar forecloses all of respondents' non-constitutional claims, including their Administrative Procedure Act claims, because the statute bars review of any determination with respect to the termination of a designation. It reaches not only the Secretary's ultimate decision, but also the subsidiary steps leading up to it. Second, the Haitian challenger's equal protection claim that Haiti's designation was terminated because of race is unlikely to succeed, since none of the cited statements by the president or the secretary was overtly racial, and all expressed policy views that could rest on race-neutral justifications. The judgments of the district courts are reversed, and the cases are remanded for further proceedings. Justice Alito announced the judgment of the court and delivered the opinion of the court except as to Part 3A. The Chief Justice, Justice Thomas, and Justice Kavanaugh joined that opinion in full, and Justice Gorsuch and Justice Barrett joined except for Part 3A. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion. Justice Kagan filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justice Sotomayor and Justice Jackson joined. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope they do not impact your listening experience. To leave us feedback on the show, or to learn more about the podcast, please visit so-ordered.org. The following is the opinion of the court in Mullen v. Doe.
In these cases, we consider whether respondents who challenged the termination of temporary protected status, TPS, for aliens from Syria and Haiti are entitled to orders postponing the terminations during litigation. We hold that they are not. The TPS statute plainly bars consideration of respondents' non-constitutional claims. It allows no judicial review of any determination with respect to the termination of a TPS designation. The term determination can be used to describe either an individual decision or the whole process leading to a final decision and under either understanding of the term, Section 1254A squarely bars all of respondents' non-constitutional claims. The sole constitutional claim before us will likely fail. Citing statements made by President Trump and former Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, one set of respondents advances an equal protection claim that Haiti's TPS designation was terminated because of the racial makeup of that country's population. But, ironically, one of respondents' other arguments undermines the equal protection claim by offering a strong, race-neutral explanation for Haiti's termination, namely that the current administration, which has terminated every TPS designation that has come up for renewal, simply opposes the TPS program, at least as it has been implemented in the past. For these reasons, the district courts erred in granting interim relief. Congress created TPS in 1990 to provide short-term humanitarian relief for aliens who cannot safely return to their home countries due to events such as armed conflict or natural disaster. Before then, the executive branch sometimes provided similar relief as a matter of discretion without any express statutory authorization. Then, as now, the Immigration and Nationality Act, INA, permitted the executive to defer the removal of an alien who agrees to leave this country voluntarily. Before Congress created TPS, aliens had 30 days to depart voluntarily, but the government claimed discretionary authority to extend that deadline indefinitely. Beginning in 1960, the government used this mechanism to provide humanitarian relief similar to that now furnished by TPS. Under a program that came to be known as Extended Voluntary Departure, EVD, the government authorized deferred departure for nationals from countries where living conditions had become unsafe. EVD allowed aliens from those countries to remain in the United States until the government concluded that conditions had improved. The government granted EVD to nationals of at least 14 countries. Under this regime, the grant and termination of humanitarian relief was purely a matter of executive discretion, and judges on the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit concluded that the executive's decision to withhold such relief was an unreviewable exercise of prosecutorial discretion. Judge Silberman, joined by three other judges, observed that review of an EVD decision would raise separation of powers concerns because, quoting Knopf v. Shaughnessy, control of the country's policy toward aliens is inherent in the executive power to control the foreign affairs of the nation. And, quoting Hotel and Restaurant Employees Union v. Smith, matters relating to the conduct of foreign relations are so exclusively entrusted to the political branches of government as to be largely immune from judicial inquiry or interference. Judge Silberman therefore concluded that judicial review would be impermissible in the absence of an extraordinarily precise statutory standard against which to measure the conduct in question. After critics objected that the extended voluntary departure program lacked proper guidelines or standards, Congress created TPS. This new regime provided standards to govern the grant and termination of TPS, but maintained core features of the old EBD program. Three aspects of the new regime are noteworthy. First, as with EVD, the executive branch retains discretion over whether to designate a country for TPS. Responsibility for TPS decisions rests with the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the statute provides that the Secretary may designate a country for TPS after consultation with appropriate agencies of the government if certain conditions are met. These are 1. There is an ongoing armed conflict within the state and, due to such conflict, requiring the return of aliens who are nationals of that state or to the part of the state would pose a serious threat to their personal safety. 2. There has been an earthquake, flood, drought, epidemic, or other environmental disaster in the state resulting in a substantial but temporary disruption of living conditions. The foreign state is unable, temporarily, to handle adequately the return of its nationals, and the state requests TPS designation. Or 3. There exist extraordinary and temporary conditions in the foreign state that prevent aliens who are nationals of the state from returning to the state in safety, unless the Secretary finds that permitting the aliens to remain temporarily is contrary to the national interest. Once a country receives a TPS designation, certain nationals of that country living in the United States without another lawful immigration status qualify for work authorization and immunity from removal. The second notable feature of TPS is that the statute requires the government to terminate a country's TPS designation if the Secretary determines that the country no longer continues to meet the conditions for designation. The Secretary generally makes such determinations as part of an ongoing review of all TPS designations. The Secretary is instructed to review each TPS designation at least every 18 months. During this review, the Secretary must consult with appropriate agencies of the government and determine whether the conditions for such designation under this subsection continue to be met. If the Secretary takes no action, a TPS designation automatically extends for another 6 months. These extensions continue until the Secretary publishes a termination notice. Terminations take effect at least 60 days after the notice appears in the Federal Register. Finally, the Secretary's TPS designation decisions are not subject to judicial review. The relevant provision bars judicial review of any determination of the Secretary of Homeland Security with respect to the designation or termination or extension of a designation of a foreign state. Although designed to afford temporary relief, TPS designations in practice have often lasted for decades. For example, the Secretary designated Somalia in 1991, and that designation remains in effect 35 years later. 3 other countries retain designations that are more than 25 years old. The current administration objects to lengthy TPS designations and adopted a new, restricted approach shortly after the beginning of President Trump's second term in office. In Executive Order 14159, titled Protecting the American People Against Invasion, the President directed Cabinet officers to ensure that designations of temporary protected status are consistent with the provisions of the TPS statute, and that such designations are appropriately limited in scope and made for only so long as may be necessary to fulfill the textual requirements of that statute. Under this approach, the Secretary of Homeland Security has terminated every TPS designation that has come up for renewal, 13 in all. Legal challenges to these decisions began almost immediately. In opposing those challenges, the government's front line of defense has been the judicial review bar in Section 1254A, but the lower courts have consistently rebuffed that argument. The government once again led with that jurisdictional argument in asking us to stay 2 district court orders that postponed the termination of Venezuela's TPS designation, and we granted those requests. Nevertheless, lower courts, including those in the cases now before us, have continued to block the Secretary's attempted terminations of other TPS designations. The Secretary designated Syria for TPS in 2012 because of extraordinary and temporary conditions related to the repressive regime of Bashar al-Assad. The initial designation notice recounted horrific conditions in that country, including use of excessive force against civilians, arbitrary executions, killing and persecution of protesters and members of the media, arbitrary detention, disappearances, torture, and ill treatment. The notice recounted that Syrian military units and mercenaries had terrorized the population, targeting and killing small children, women, and other unarmed civilians. These actions led military defectors and members of the population into armed resistance and, eventually, civil war. For these reasons, the secretary concluded that Syrian nationals cannot return to Syria in safety due to extraordinary and temporary conditions. The secretary designated Syria for TPS for an initial period of 18 months. In the 14 years since then, Syria has maintained its TPS designation through a series of extensions and redesignations. In September 2025, several months after we stayed the district court order in NTPSA1, the first case involving Venezuela, the secretary provided public notice that Syria's TPS designation would terminate in 60 days. She stated that she had consulted with appropriate United States government agencies and had reviewed country conditions in Syria. She recognized that between 2011 and 2024, the Syrian civil war had caused more than 500,000 deaths, the displacement of millions, and extensive damage to infrastructure. But in 2024, the Assad regime fell and a transitional government took its place. The notice recounted that the United States had normalized relations with Syria's new government and had revoked sanctions. Even so, the termination notice acknowledged that Syria's problems remained. It noted that localized violence had replaced nationwide hostilities and that insurgent flare-ups continued. The secretary also recognized that most Syrians require some form of humanitarian assistance, but she found that this does not prevent nationals from returning in safety, as evidenced by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees' estimate that since 2024, over 1.2 million Syrians have returned to Syria. In short, the termination notice described improved conditions in Syria, but by no means painted a rosy picture. Based on her review, the secretary determined that termination of the Syria temporary protected status designation was required, asserting claims under the Administrative Procedure Act, APA, seven Syrian nationals who benefit from TPS sued in the Southern District of New York to stop the termination of Syria's TPS designation. The district court concluded that these plaintiffs, the respondents in docket number 25-1083, were entitled to interim relief under Title V United States Code, Section 705, which authorizes a reviewing court in appropriate circumstances to postpone the effective date of agency action. The court rejected the government's jurisdictional argument because of the restrictive manner in which jurisdiction stripping provisions are construed. It then held that the plaintiffs were likely to succeed on their APA claims, that the termination of Syria's TPS designation was contrary to law and arbitrary and capricious. The court claimed not to opine on the substance of the secretary's termination decision or on her authority to make such a decision, but it proceeded to criticize the secretary for taking a hatchet to the TPS system. The court found that the secretary's decision to terminate Syria's TPS designation constituted one aspect of the current administration's anti-immigrant agenda. The court then indefinitely postponed the effective date of the termination of Syria's TPS designation and declined to stay its own order. The Second Circuit also denied the government's request for a stay. It concluded that it likely had jurisdiction, that the challengers had at least one strong APA claim, namely, that the secretary acted contrary to law by failing to engage in adequate consultation with other agencies before terminating TPS, and that the other stay factors were not met. Following the Second Circuit's ruling, the government turned to this court for relief. We granted cert before judgment and deferred ruling on the government's request for a stay. Haiti received a TPS designation in 2010 after a devastating earthquake killed or injured hundreds of thousands of residents, caused massive property damage, and severely worsened living conditions. The government redesignated Haiti for TPS and extended that designation several times. The government attempted to terminate Haiti's TPS designation, but court orders prevented that termination from taking effect. In 2021, following a change in administration, the government redesignated Haiti for TPS, citing gang-related violence, human rights abuses, poverty, inadequate health care, and food insecurity. Relying on these same grounds, the government continued to extend Haiti's TPS designation. The net effect was to allow Haitians who benefit from TPS to retain that status for 16 years. In November 2025, the Secretary provided public notice that Haiti's TPS designation would terminate on February 3, 2026, the last day of the most recent extension, stating that she had consulted with appropriate United States government agencies. She explained her assessment of the current situation in Haiti. Certain conditions, she acknowledged, remained concerning, especially gang violence and its spillover effects. But she asserted that certain areas of the country were suitable to return to and that the situation would further improve with the deployment of a multinational gang suppression force. Separately, she concluded that the ongoing designation of Haiti contravened United States national interests. She noted, among other things, that many Haitians in the United States had entered illegally, that Haitians who came here legally overstayed their visas at an exceptionally high rate, and that the Haitian government was often unable to provide the information needed to identify its own nationals' criminal records or gang affiliations. The notice concluded by noting that the United States immigration policy must align with our foreign policy vision of a secure, sovereign, and self-reliant Haiti, and not a country that Haitian citizens continue to leave in large numbers to seek opportunities in the United States. Before the termination took effect, a group of five Haitian nationals with TPS sued in the District Court for the District of Columbia to stop the termination of Haiti's designation. They asserted claims under the APA and charged that the termination of Haiti's designation violated the constitutional right to equal protection because it was motivated by race. The district court granted interim relief. It found that the TPS judicial review bar did not apply because plaintiffs challenged how the secretary went about making her determination, not the ultimate TPS termination decision itself. On the merits, the court ruled that several of the challengers' APA claims were likely to succeed, including the claim that the secretary had not properly consulted other government agencies, and the claim that she had acted arbitrarily and capriciously by ignoring evidence of Haiti's true country conditions. The court also ruled that the challengers would likely succeed on the merits of their equal protection claim, because both President Trump and Secretary Noem made statements that suggested racial animus against Haitians and other non-white foreigners. The court did not stay its order. A divided D.C. Circuit panel likewise declined to issue a stay. It noted that many other courts had held that they had jurisdiction to consider similar claims, and it found that the government had failed to show that it would suffer irreparable harm. According to the majority, the government's assertion that the district court had intruded on the executive branch's foreign policy prerogatives was a mere generalized assertion of injury and insufficient to support a stay. Judge Walker dissented. In his view, the court lacked jurisdiction, and the government was irreparably harmed by an improper intrusion by a federal court into the workings of a coordinate branch of the government. After this decision, the government sought a stay and a writ of certiorari before judgment. We granted review, consolidated this case with Doe, and deferred ruling on the stay application. We first consider respondents' non-constitutional claims and conclude that we are barred from reviewing them. A provision of the TPS statute, Title 8 United States Code, Section 1254A provides, "There is no judicial review of any determination of the Secretary of Homeland Security with respect to the designation or termination or extension of a designation of a foreign state under this subsection. This text is clear, and its plain meaning is very broad. We start with the key term, determination, which may mean several different things. It may be used as a synonym for decision. See, for example, Oxford English Dictionary, 2nd edition, 1989, a decision arrived at or promulgated. Also, Webster's 3rd New International Dictionary, 1986, the act of deciding definitely and firmly. The term may also be used to describe the chain of events leading up to a decision. Not only is it common to use the term determination in this broad sense, but other terms in the judicial review bar, particularly the phrase with respect to, support this broad understanding. That phrase generally has a broadening effect, ensuring that the scope of a provision covers not only its subject, but also matters relating to that subject. Under either of these definitions, Section 1254A bars respondents' non-constitutional claims. Each claim concerns a discrete decision made by the Secretary, for example, her decision to consult the State Department in a particular manner, and her decision that country conditions in Syria and Haiti justified termination of their TPS designations. And all those steps were part of the process that led to her final decision to terminate these countries' TPS designations. Indeed, the same result would follow if determination referred only to that final decision. In that event, all the preceding decisions would be with respect to that decision. So, under any dictionary definition of determination, the judicial review bar applies to respondents' non-constitutional claims. We recognize that when a statutory provision is reasonably susceptible to divergent interpretation, we adopt the reading that accords with the traditional and basic principle that executive determinations generally are subject to judicial review. But here, the text of the TPS judicial review bar very clearly overcomes the general presumption in favor of judicial review. Respondents and the courts below offer several theories to overcome the plain meaning of the judicial review bar, but none is sound. The most prominent theory is that Section 1254A applies only to substantive claims, not those based on alleged procedural errors. This argument finds no support in the language of Section 1254A because a determination may concern procedural or substantive questions. Take Doe Respondent's argument that the Secretary inadequately consulted the State Department about conditions in Syria. In proceeding as she did, the Secretary, either personally or through her subordinates, made a series of procedural determinations: to communicate with the State Department by email, to send a terse and unspecific email, and to proceed to terminate Syria's TPS designation after receiving a laconic answer. In attempting to limit Section 1254A to substantive determinations, respondents and lower courts have relied not on the statutory text, but on several of our decisions, chiefly McNary v. Haitian Refugee Center, Incorporated, decided in 1991, and Bowen v. Michigan Academy of Family Physicians, decided in 1986. But they read far too much into those decisions. McNary concerned the Special Agricultural Farmworker Amnesty Program. A provision of the governing statute barred review of a determination respecting an application for adjustment of status under that program, except in removal proceedings. Because this provision referred to a single act, that is, a ruling on an individual application, the court held that alien farm workers' broad claims about the procedures used in implementing the program could proceed. Thus, the decision turned on the specific wording of the provision at issue. It did not adopt the broad principle that the term determination applies only to substantive matters. Nor does Bowen support respondents' position. There, the court held that two statutory provisions did not bar judicial review of a regulation that provided disparate Medicare Part B payments to allopathic and other physicians. The first provision did not bar review at all. Instead, it authorized judicial review of benefits awarded in hearings conducted by private insurance carriers. The government asked the court to infer that this grant of a particular type of review implicitly barred review of the challenged regulation. But based on the language of this provision and its legislative history, the court rejected that request. The Bowen Court's refusal to find an implicit preclusion of review in the specific language and legislative history of a differently worded provision in a particular statutory scheme hardly means that the term determination in Section 1254A is limited in the way respondents contend and lower courts have ruled. The second statutory provision at issue in Bowen is no more helpful to respondents than the first provision. This provision in the Medicare Act incorporated a list of sections of the Social Security Act, and one of those sections prohibited certain actions against the government or its officers. The court held that this provision did not bar review of the challenged Medicare regulation because it was incorporated mutatis mutandis, that is, with necessary and appropriate modifications, and because legislative history showed that the Medicare Act provision was not meant to bar review of important questions like the one at issue. By contrast, the TPS judicial review bar expressly restricts review. It is not a string cite that incorporates another provision to a limited degree. And even if we were disposed to consult legislative history to determine the meaning of Section 1254A, the proponents of the substance-only interpretation cite no legislative history that supports their position. Doe respondents, while agreeing that Section 1254A applies to only substantive determinations, advance another argument that would reduce the reach of that provision even further. In their view, the statutory term determination in the judicial review bar applies only to determinations about conditions in the country designated for TPS. This argument, which gives the commonly used term determination a special meaning, runs headlong into our statutory interpretation precedents. We are wary of giving common terms technical meanings. Statutory interpretation proceeds on the assumption that those who draft and enact a provision generally intend its terms to mean what they mean in ordinary usage. Without that assumption, the entire endeavor would break down. Ordinary people could not understand what the law requires of them, and every word in a statute could be an unfathomable puzzle. Of course, a statute may provide expressly, or may signal in some other clear way, that it employs a common term in a way that departs from its ordinary meaning. But without strong proof of such a departure, commonly used terms should be given their common meaning. Here, determination is a commonly used term, and therefore Doe respondents bear the burden of showing that, as used in Section 1254A, it carries a technical, TPS-specific meaning. But their effort to show that statutory context dictates adoption of their interpretation falls short because the TPS statute uses determination in multiple ways that have nothing to do with the assessment of country conditions. For example, the very first use of determination in the TPS statute refers to a determination with respect to the alien's eligibility for benefits. In another provision, the statute refers to the determination of an alien's admissibility. Still another provision describes the effect of TPS on discretionary immigration benefits if the Secretary determines that extreme hardship exists. These uses of determination or determines are plainly not references to country conditions. Doe respondents counter that we need not look to how the TPS statute as a whole uses the term determination, but can instead limit our examination to the use of the term in subsection B, which contains the judicial review bar. And there, they point out, the term refers only to the Secretary's evaluation of country conditions. This argument rests on a cramped view of statutory context. When we consider statutory context, we evaluate the provision at issue with a view to its place in the overall statutory scheme, not just in a single subsection. While the use of a term in nearby or closely related provisions may be entitled to more weight, there is no justification for limiting our examination as closely as DOE respondents urge. Once we expand our aperture, we see that the TPS statute uses determination in its ordinary sense, not to denote an assessment of country conditions. Taking a different tack, respondents argue that only the Secretary's ultimate determination, not any subsidiary decision, such as whether to consult other agencies, is unreviewable. The dissent makes a similar argument. For reasons already explained, this argument is inconsistent with the plain meaning of the statutory text. And that is true whether the term determination is understood to mean a discrete decision or a process leading up to a final decision. This argument also contradicts general administrative law principles. In APA cases, an agency's subsidiary decisions merge into the final agency action, which is then subject to review. If the final agency action is unreviewable, then so too are subsidiary determinations. This important principle ensures that challengers cannot avoid a judicial review bar by creative pleading or clever lawyering. Moving beyond the text and precedent, respondents contend that our interpretation of the judicial review bar could protect many shocking abuses of TPS. For example, a rogue secretary in one fell swoop could issue a 50-year TPS designation contrary to the 18-month statutory cap. Or a secretary could terminate a TPS designation based on a coin flip. The government responds to each of respondents' far-fetched hypotheticals and concludes that some, but not all, could in fact be redressed by the courts. But whether or not that assessment is correct, the fact remains that if a secretary engaged in the sort of conduct that respondents imagine, Congress would have ample means to stop that abuse, including, for example, through the annual appropriations process. Sometimes Congress decides that the political process is the proper form for remedying improper conduct. In sum, we hold that the TPS statute's judicial review bar applies to all non-constitutional claims. We continue with Myatt respondents' equal protection claim. We have held that where Congress intends to preclude judicial review of constitutional claims, its intent to do so must be clear. We need not resolve whether the TPS statute meets that clear statement rule, because we conclude that Myatt respondents' constitutional claim is unlikely to succeed on the merits. Before proceeding further, we briefly explain why we may address the substance of Myatt respondents' equal protection claim without deciding whether the district court had jurisdiction to entertain it. It is a cardinal rule that a federal court may not consider the merits of a claim without first making a firm determination that it has jurisdiction. When interim relief is sought, however, a court does not make a final decision on any matter necessary to the ultimate judgment. Instead, the court makes only a predictive, not a final, decision about the outcome of the case. And the likelihood that the court has jurisdiction over a claim and the likelihood that the claim is meritorious both bear on the claim's ultimate prospects. So in evaluating the likelihood of success question for the purpose of ruling on a request for interim relief, courts may consider both the likelihood that they have jurisdiction and the likelihood that the claim will succeed on the merits. If they conclude that a claim fails on either ground, they must deny interim relief. Similarly, a court with appellate jurisdiction may reverse on either jurisdictional or merits grounds of a lower court order that granted interim relief. But courts need not always start with the jurisdictional ground if the claim for interim relief would also fail on the merits. Here, we review the district court's award of interim relief. Thus, in evaluating MIAT respondents' likelihood of success on their equal protection claim, we may reverse the district court's grant of interim relief on either jurisdictional or merits grounds. We turn now to the merits of MIAT respondents' equal protection claim. The parties dispute the proper standard for assessing this claim. The government contends that we should apply the deferential test we used in Trump v. Hawaii, decided in 2018, and it claims that many of the factors that informed the court's identification of the proper standard of review in that case are also present here. These factors include the executive's broad authority over the admission and exclusion of foreign nationals, and the connection between immigration policy and foreign relations. MIAT respondents, on the other hand, urge us to apply heightened scrutiny under Arlington Heights v. Metropolitan Housing Development Corporation, decided in 1977. In their view, the Hawaii standard applies only to the exclusion of aliens seeking to enter the country, not to those who are already here. We need not resolve this debate. We will assume for the sake of argument that the Arlington Heights standard applies and that we must therefore determine whether a discriminatory purpose was a motivating factor in the decision to terminate Haiti's TPS designation. But because application of that standard calls for consideration of the context in which a challenge statement was made, the immigration context is an important factor. In support of their claim that the termination of Haiti's TPS designation was based on race, respondents cite statements made by the president and former secretary Noem. The president's comments fall into four main categories. First, many express strong objections to the immigration that this country has experienced in recent decades and to many of the immigrants who have come here, particularly those who have come to or stayed in the United States illegally. These statements associate these immigrants with crime and other social ills. Second, some statements express great displeasure with TPS. They note, among other things, that TPS designations have often been far from temporary and that aliens who are allowed to stay in the United States under the program are not vetted like other aliens who seek admission. Third, some statements broadly denigrate the countries for which TPS designations have been granted, including Haiti, portraying them as hellish places in which to live. And fourth, some statements malign Haitians who have come to the United States. MIAT respondents also cite statements by former Secretary Noem that fall into three categories. Some expressed antipathy toward travelers from countries covered by a renewed travel ban, much like the one that was before us in Hawaii. Others were derogatory comments about immigration and its effects. And still some others promised changes and criticized past implementation of TPS. None of the cited statements by either the president or the secretary was overtly racial, and in substance all expressed policy views that could rest on race-neutral justifications. For example, one may oppose TPS and favor tighter restrictions on immigration for economic or other reasons that have nothing to do with race. And a person without racial bias can provide a harshly unfavorable description of living conditions in some of the countries with TPS designations. The criteria for TPS designations guarantee that many, if not most, designated countries have such characteristics. Haiti is no exception. It is a very poor country, and living conditions there are unquestionably difficult. Many Americans of all races would surely find those conditions intolerable. But poverty and deprivation are no reflection on character, and there is no justification for denigrating the character of Haitians who suffer from and bear no responsibility for their country's ills, due in large part to the difficult conditions at home. Many Haitians have come to this country throughout our history. And beginning with the more than 500 Haitians who fought to support American independence At the Battle of Savannah in 1779, Haitians have made many positive contributions to the United States from the very beginning, and they continue to do so today. In offering the cited statements as proof that the termination of Haiti's TPS termination was motivated by race, Myatt respondents seek to capitalize on the statement's heated language. Political discourse by prominent public figures is increasingly couched in terms that would have scandalized the public just a short time ago, and the statements cited by Myatt respondents, especially those concerning Haiti and Haitian immigrants to this country, exemplify this development. But whatever one may think of the cited statements, they are insufficient to show that the termination of Haiti's TPS designation was based on the race of the Haitian people. Ironically, both Doe and Myatt respondents identify a strong, race-neutral explanation of these official statements. The present administration's general stance on immigration and its obvious antipathy toward past administrations' TPS policies. Respondents argue that the secretary made a preordained decision to end TPS for all countries, and they stress that she terminated the TPS designations for every country that came up for review, 13 in all. Included are nations in East Asia, Nepal, and Burma, Central Asia, Afghanistan, the Middle East, Syria, and Yemen, Africa, Somalia, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Cameroon, Central America, Nicaragua, and Honduras, South America, Venezuela, and the Caribbean, Haiti. Most would regard this as a racially diverse group of countries, but Myatt respondents see them all as non-white nations. They claim that TPS has not been terminated for any predominantly white nation, and they therefore infer that the reason for the termination of the TPS designation for Haiti was having a predominantly non-white population. Respondents' definition of a predominantly non-white nation is broad, apparently encompassing major European countries. It may be that only the termination of a TPS designation for a Nordic or Germanic country would be sufficient in their judgment to show that the Secretary's unbroken record of TPS terminations was race-neutral. However, no such test case has come up during the present administration. Only one European nation, Ukraine, had a TPS designation when the president began his second term, and that country's TPS designation has not yet come up for review. The only other European states ever designated for TPS were the war-torn provinces of Kosovo and Bosnia-Herzegovina. The great majority of countries granted TPS have ranked among the poorest nations of the world, and no European nation falls into that category. Viewing all the relevant evidence, we conclude that Myatt respondents are unlikely to prove that race was a motivating factor in the decision to terminate Haiti's TPS designation. It follows that they are not entitled to interim relief on their equal protection claim. The judgments of the United States District Courts for the Southern District of New York and the District of Columbia are reversed. The cases are remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It is so ordered.